You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankwitz, and it's Tuesday, August 26th. Federal funding that supports victims of crime in Tillamook County faces cuts of up to 80%. This comes after a directive by the Trump administration denying funding to states with sanctuary laws for undocumented migrants. County and judicial leaders in Tillamook County say the cuts would have drastic impacts on their ability to offer services to victims, including some required by statute. Tides of Change, which provides services for survivors of domestic and sexual violence in Tillamook County, expects to see major impacts. The organization is stretching grant awards for now to avoid immediate layoffs. A lawsuit is challenging the withholding of the funds. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Washington residents who survived incarceration in Japanese concentration camps in the 1940s are urging elected officials to push back against the Trump administration's immigration enforcement actions. KNKX reporter Freddie Moneres has more.
Joe Okimoto was three when he and his family were forcibly removed from their homes in California in 1942.
My mother was 6 months pregnant with my younger brother delivered my younger brother at the temporary prison camp.
Okimoto recently shared his story at an event organized by Suru for Solidarity. Staffers for Seattle's mayor and congressional representatives were there.
Not too many people protested in our day to help change what was happening to us. So that's something we feel strongly about, that we want to speak up.
Okimoto and the other panelists urged elected officials to take actions to halt deportation flights out of King County's airport and shut down the Immigration Detention Center in Tacoma. In Seattle, I'm Freddie Monades.
Oregon's climate is so wet that for years people took drinking water for granted. Now, because of climate change and increasing development, smaller Oregon towns are trying to buy their own watersheds. But as Christian Fodenwenzel reports, that could take generations.
50 years ago, in the coastal town of Neskowin, 170 people were struck down with a stomach bug, all in 1 month. Health authorities blamed the water, but back then there was no one regional water district to keep things clean. Instead, families banded together to pipe water from ponds on higher ground or pull it straight out of Hawk Creek. But the 1970s environmental movement was in full swing, and passage of the Safe Water Drinking Act meant the feds wanted to clean things up.
It was one of the first lawsuits from the EPA on a private water system that resulted in the combination of all these private, individually owned water systems into one public water system.
That system is the Neskowin Regional Water District, which Troy Troot now manages and is happy to give a tour. He explains how Hawk Creek flows into the plant through big metal grids to keep out sticks and rocks, then through filters that he cleans once a month to keep out bacteria. Chlorine is then added to kill germs.
They like to call it, which is kind of a weird word for it, a prophylactic.
Troot then balances the water acidity so it doesn't leach the lead out of the faucets, and it's pumped up to several small reservoirs above Neskowin so it can run down via gravity.
That's the most basic version of how it's done.
But there are subtleties to the job. It can be political, like discussions on fluoride. Troot must also keep in contact with local timber companies so he knows when they're cutting or using herbicides.
We literally will schedule around that to not pull water in during when they're spraying and then during the first rain event afterwards.
Troot's personal cell is also listed on the district's emergency webpage.
What's defined as an emergency? They think there's going to be an issue, well, then they call.
Such personal service means Troot knows most of the families in Neskowin, some of whom own substantial swaths of land in the watershed. That helped the district protect its first slice of the watershed a few years ago. One family, the Kowalskis, agreed to donate the parcel where the district draws its water.
These people are being very good to their community.
Today, Neskowin's drinking water is under increasing pressure from climate change and development, so the town wants to buy its watershed and protect it. It just won a grant from the District Water Source Protection Grant Program, a new effort created by the Oregon legislature. Nesquin, Reedsport, Rockaway Beach, the Dalles, Port Orford, and Rhododendron will split $5 million in grants. Dylan Cruz with Sustainable Northwest says the program gives nature time and space to do what it does best, create clean, fresh water.
Because when we lose those forested areas, what happens is these communities are forced to put in very expensive water treatment facilities that they can't afford and are very difficult to finance.
In Nesquin, the water district's buying three parcels of timberland totaling 121 acres. They'll gradually be turned back into something resembling old growth, that is, a collection of many different tree species at different ages, rather than a monoculture, with a spongy forest floor of old needles and moss so water can seep in slowly instead of running off quickly, carrying away topsoil. But buying the land is not guaranteed. Families and big timber companies tend to want to keep their holdings for the benefit of future generations and shareholders. Lana Kowalski's family is considering selling 80 acres. She's been approached many times and always said no until the water district.
In Nesquin, many people have been there a long time and know each other and respect each other, and there's lots of friendships. So we wanted to do our part.
She says for years, Oregonians have taken their water for granted.
It's wonderful to have it, and it's still, to me, tastes better than any other water I've had in the world. So there you go.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm obviously prejudiced.
If Nesquin's successful, it'll own about 10% of its 1,500-acre watershed. Troy Trout says it will probably take another decade to protect another 10%, but if there's one thing the district has, it's time. So, in 100 years perhaps, Nesquin and many other small Oregon towns will own the source of their own drinking water. Christian Foden-Wenzel, Nesquin.
For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, partly sunny with highs in the low 70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with highs near 70. Cloudy tomorrow night with lows in the mid-50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. As we get to the end of August, it's time to start talking about some of the changes you will start to see in our news broadcasts. A lot of those won't begin until the end of September, early October, but they are coming. This is due in part because KMUN is losing a whole bunch of its federal funding thanks to the Trump administration's rescission bill passed this summer. For us, that means we have to look at our programming and make some difficult choices. We will be losing all of our NPR programming this October. For news, that's very impactful. Right now, you're listening to this whole news in one go. But if you're listening to us on the air, you know that we're coming in and out of the NPR news hours. Well, starting in October, those hours won't be there. And instead, we'll be filling it ourselves with content from partners and content that we produce. If you're interested at all in learning how you can help and be a part of the news in a good way, you should reach out. You can do that by emailing me at katie@kmun.org. That's K-A-T-I-E at kmun.org, or call the station during regular business hours, 503-325-0010. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.